Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If that's okay. Everyone's tapping drinks.
With ASMR, he knows.
It's not his first rodeo, right? I only play the title.
Canadian politics is boring, juicy bits.
Canadian politics is boring, juicy bits.
There we go. I should work you in there somewhere, Jordan.
Yeah. Right.
On the sideshow. You guys just do your thing.
So Juicy Bits is a topical thing. There's shorter episodes that were not well researched, which is like we've heard something happen today or yesterday, and we just slap on the microphone and we ramble through it for 10 minutes.
And this was to get an update from you on how was the election gone? Are you exhausted? Is it getting closer to the end? How has it been campaigning in Alberta?
Yeah, tell us.
Well, yeah, it's a dumpster fire that's just raging out of control, and the
as well as an actual fire raging out of control. Yeah,
which choice do you want? And they've really both these entitled parties, which is the Jesse, the Conservative, and then the NDP party, UCP and NDP. Anyway, they've not really created much of a choice, so it's just basically a popularity contest. So they're way more interested in having large events with people waving flags and, than actually talking about anything at all.
It's astounding, honestly. It never ceases to blow my mind how childish some politicians can be, honestly.
Yeah. Exactly. We had the debate. I wasn't invited because we had to have seats in the legislature to be in the debate. But now it's a two-party system here in Alberta. So, of course, it was just Danielle Smith and Rachel Notley basically talking shit for way too long. And it's crazy. It's a catch-22, right? Because Jordan, you got the third most candidates, more than the Liberals or the Alberta Party combined. Even though we're getting huge amount of platform exposure, and even though you have a full detailed platform and the most progressive platform in this election, you don't get a seat at this leadership debate because you don't have a seat. But it's a catch-22 because how am I going to get a seat? Right? So democracy always fails.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you are the perfect man for right now because you're the Green Party. So you kind of, I think you care about global warming more than most parties because it's kind of like, it's in the clues in the name, but also you're a firefighter.
Like this, right. This is like, I kind of feel like you're immensely relevant to this election.
If you could explain it for those of us who perhaps don't understand the system as well, how it's a catch-22, how would you be able to get a seat, or is it impossible?
Well, that's the thing, because as soon as you funnel down into a two-party system, it's almost worse than a one-party system, because now all the air is tied up into these two parties. All the fundraising goes to these two parties and all the attention. So, again, they say you can't have a seat to get into the debate. But if you don't get into the debate, how are you going to get a seat?
I don't know how that works.
That's exactly the question. So the debate is like the main thing that's televised. And everyone's, you know, just wanted another choice. Everyone wanted to talk about real solutions. They wanted to talk about the fact that our province was on fire and how it got to this. But of course, none of that was spoken to. And we just had people basically saying, look, I don't have any solutions, but at least I'm not this person. And that was it. That was the choice. You're choosing against, of course, you're voting out of fear. Yeah. So that was really a letdown. And again, just being an outsider originally, you know, a firefighter and disaster manager coming into politics, it just boggles my mind, the state of our democracy. And of course, we spent a lot of time in our last interview talking about different systems and proportional systems and how we can make democracy better. Because again, I don't like to just complain, of course. I want to see solutions. And you know, that's why your podcasts are so important, because you know, you're talking to everyday Canadians about what we could do better and you know, kind of talking about how we can overcome some of the craziness. And as we were saying,
I don't know how to overcome it. Do you have any ideas? I don't have any ideas. I can point it out and say that's pretty crazy over there and people are acting ridiculous, but like, I don't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. You know,
demanding a stronger democracy, demanding proportional representation so it can't just be political. We have to have full on movements within the public sector, within average citizens demanding a stronger democracy, or else it just will never happen. But you know, people are checked out. They want to watch the playoffs. They've got other things to do.
Shouldn't they though?
Like that's top of their list.
Like our government should in a perfect world run smoothly in the background so that we can enjoy our lives as citizens. We as citizens should not be spending the majority of our time babysitting our own government. You know, I don't think that's how it should be working.
You should just, Jesse, it sounds like you should just give everything over to a robot so you can just chill out.
I mean, I kind of, at this point, I think a robot might do a better job.
So have you got any, I'm always interested in stories. Have you got any like funny stories or shocking stories? You know, you've been out kind of like, you know, I imagine walking miles, knocking doors, talking to thousands of people. Yeah. What's really stood out in your memory is like burned in your head is like, well, I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
I mean, ask him in advance, Reese.
I don't know. It's
no, I'm just thinking back of all the, you know, of all the craziness. But it's almost a blur because there's never enough time. They drop the writ, and then you've got 30 days. And so the best thing that I can do is get out and hit the doors and make connections with people. Except, you know, as a small party, we were running around ensuring that last minute candidates could get on the ballot. So as a party leader, I had another level that I had to deal with that the other parties didn't have to deal with. So Jesse, we have to collect signatures from people in the riding to get candidates on. And we are the third party in candidates. We almost had a half slate, which is we've got 41. We were hoping for 44. So we were just running around like crazy getting signatures. And, you know, at one point me and the campaign manager, we look at each other and it's just like the party leader, the campaign manager out there, like just hitting doors, getting signatures when of course we should be trying to we had CBC interviews. We had events to do, my own riding to try and win. And here we are just like running around like crazy people, because that's where it's at. That's where the movement's at democratically. And it's funny because, you know, people don't understand. We don't focus much on fundraising, but these other parties have millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
So they pay people to do all this work. Those canvassers that come to your door, they're not passionate about the NDP or the UCP, you know, generally. I mean, there's some people out there for sure. But, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of paid positions and a lot of people that it's just a machine. It becomes a machine and it becomes, again, like we were saying, a popularity contest.
In Denmark, they don't have there's no political donations. If you're a political party, you get given a fixed budget by the government and you have an equal number of slots of TV ads, radio ads, print ads.
That's it's almost brilliant.
That there is no donation and there is no one outfunding each other. Everyone has like an equal amount of exposure and resources to work with.
That's which brilliant.
I really like. It's just so totally different from what we used to.
That's what I've been saying for a long time. We need to take most of the money out of politics, politics.
Yes, honestly. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it sounds like we're your therapy session for today, Jordan. We're happy to do that for you. Is there a takeaway that you'd like to give our audience?
Is there a takeaway?
Give them something to go and do. Not that they ever listen to us. They never listen to
They listen to Jordan. So
they listen to Jordan. Okay. Well, they listen to Jordan. They won't listen to you or me.
Yeah. In the last interview, we talked a lot about voting with our value system, about the need for third parties, about a stronger democracy. Yes. I mean, it's the same thing. We have to be courageous with our vote because, you know, you get to the doors and they say, I strongly believe in your platform. I did the CBC Vote Compass. I landed directly on your party. But man, we got to get Smith out. So I'm going to vote NDP. So, I mean, the state of politics is rough.
I've done that. Sure. I've literally done that where like voting for the person that I'm voting for is not who I want to vote for. But I know if I vote for them, it'll make sure that the person I really, really don't want to get in doesn't get in. You know, it squeezes you. It makes you, it kind of forces your hand for you, right?
You're always going for the lesser evil. You're not voting to change the world.
Right.
You're just voting to kind of maintain it, I guess.
So maybe we could just
slightly more.
We look back. So to have a courageous vote, I like that a lot. And to have a courageous vote, perhaps look back at our history and realize that when people got in that we didn't want, or even, you know, it just, nothing's really changing, you know, like, when the people we wanted to get in got in, when the people we didn't want to get in, nobody's really doing anything different. It's just the same old fucking game over and over and over again. So, to be a courageous voter and have a courageous vote, maybe for this election or any kind of upcoming election, if you've got someone you want to vote for, but you're afraid they won't get in, fucking vote for them anyway. You know, be a courageous vote. Is that what you're trying to say? Am I saying this correctly?
Well, it creates momentum in the right directions and it pushes the narratives that you believe in, because these people all of a sudden wake up and go, wait, hold on. How did, let's say, the Green Party get all these votes? And so they will take a look at why we were moving the needle. And it doesn't mean that they're going to adopt those policies, but you're certainly going to have to debate them, especially in the next election. But, you know, then you wait 4 years. It's just crazy. And people forget. They have short memories as well. And so, again, the state of politics is pretty rough. I mean, even, you know, climate change was not mentioned up until finally the entire province is on fire and we're breathing in the smoke. And so when we were door knocking, finally people were like, yeah, Greens. Okay, yeah, you know what? This makes sense. And it's always waiting for this worst case scenario in the disaster realm. We call them the focusing event, where all of a sudden people go, yeah, how did it get this bad? But the proactivity thing is the missing piece, which is one of the reasons why I got into politics. So here we were, you know, sitting around the table. We couldn't get outside. So we started making phone calls. It was smoking. And finally I just said, this is enough. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to go and try and fight these fires. But the system was so, I don't want to say broken, but depleted, and the capacity levels of our wildland firefighting teams was so depleted from a lack of forethought and funding that even when they called out for volunteers that, you know, and I answered the call, they said, okay, you're going to go. And then there was nothing. There was nothing for a week. Finally they tried to hire me, but I'm on leave from my fire station. So it was against the rules to actually get a job, but I was going to actually just pause the whole campaign and go out there.
I would have done it regardless. But I would have taken the slap on the wrist or whatever it is.
I imagine you must know a ton of people out there fighting those fires right now as well. You've probably got a personal link to like a lot of people.
Is there anyone you want to shout out?
I do. Oh, well, I mean, I'm going to shout out everybody who's working their asses off and you know, including the Canadian military and Indigenous communities that are out there. They're working, you know, their faces off because it's their communities that are overly impacted by these fires. There's actually a firefighter named Frankie Payu. He was part of the East Prairie Métis settlement. And he was out fighting the fire and his house burned down. And then when he was out there as well, he's got a small family. And so he kept fighting and he was cutting down a tree and the tree snapped up high and it fell on him. It broke his back. And he's in the U of A hospital here. And so there is a GoFundMe for his family. And so if I'm going to shout out anybody, it'll be definitely Frankie Payu. So, I mean, if you're listening to this, give it a quick search, GoFundMe, Frankie Payu.
And, we'll put a link in the show notes if you send it to us.
How do you spell his last name?
Yeah, he's a hero and then P-A-Y-O, O-U, I guess. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, yeah. Well, send us the link and we'll put it in the show notes for everyone and they can
just
click on there and hey, this podcast might have some use. That's great.
If you're in Spotify listening, exactly. Finding the show notes is a little difficult because you have to click a bunch. It's weird. I don't know, but you'll find it. It'll be there.
We'll put it on our website too.
It will come up. And then the other crazy part is that the firefighters out there all now that I've given a lot of attention and kind of have that back end of what's going on out there. I did mention and I was shouting out to them like, hey, government of Alberta, pay your wildland firefighters. Because these guys are out there risking their lives. Frankie is a perfect example. And then they're not even getting paid. The paychecks are late. It's getting, there's been a 4 years of just incompetence regarding, respecting these people that are working their asses off and, getting exposed to cancer and things like that. So, and I had messages this morning, like, Jordan, you're on the right track. Look harder. There's a huge mess out there. So, if you want some politics not to be boring, I mean, there's incompetence going on at all levels, and the people that should be most valued, these guys are, a lot of them are working for $16.75 an hour and risking everything. Calling that out is, I think, another critical piece of the pie here. Whether it's nurses or teachers we're just not valuing the people in our society that are really giving back and giving all to the people and their well-being. It's just wild where the money goes.
I think you've been in Alberta for too long. You've been in Alberta for too long. Come to Nova Scotia, hang out with us. We'll show you a good kitchen party time.
Okay, there's wildfires here too, Jesse. There was a huge wildfire on the South Shore. Somebody lives in a forest.
You can't get away from them. All right, never mind.
We never will. So
they will get worse and worse. And so that's the other part where maybe you might want to take a look at this. We were the only party that had a wildfire resiliency plan, and so we got a lot of attention because we're like, hey, we have a plan for this. Imagine, we've been talking about this since 2008, and then but of course when it happened, the premier was out there going, this unprecedented wildfire season, and it's like it's the most expected thing if you've looked at it at all or you've read the news internationally, like things are burning down. And wait for the droughts. The droughts are going to be terrible. And we're going to, as a prairie province, it's going to affect all of Canada for sure.
I have an idea that I'd like to put forth.
It's going to be good.
We should.
Let's hear about it.
I think we should put it out there for our viewers to fund, to donate to a new GoFundMe for Jordan's spa day. I think you need a spa day. I think you need to just kind of relax a little bit, take some deep breaths, maybe have a salt bath. Let your brain reset.
Like a yoga retreat. All the yoga retreats are on fire, Jesse.
So it's that meme, right? Everything's fine.
It's really hot yoga. Yeah. So sorry, that was bad.
It's like 3 days left now in the election. Is that right? Is it 3 days? So. are you just going to be out there just like carrying on as you've been doing? And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do when they start counting? And then what are you going to do once it's all done and you can finally just kind of go, well, I did everything I could. Now I can chill.
Yeah. We're doing crazy, you know, things that I never thought I'd be doing. So for example, last night we had a interactive telephone town hall. Okay. Well, what is that? So basically
what is that?
It calls out to all of our constituents. And then I'm sitting there in the campaign office with my phone, and then it just fills up with people. Like they just get pushed into this telephone town hall room, and they can opt out or hang up. Of course.
They can, like, we're talking hundreds of people on the phone can talk all at once.
Yeah. So there's hundreds of people. Like, why am I here? I was just sitting, sitting on my couch, and now I'm in this interactive town hall because it just like sends you through. Of course, like we intro it. Like, this is what's happening. But it catches people off guard. But it was cool because we were able to, you know, get our messaging out to a large group of people that, you know, probably we couldn't have hit because we have limited resources and volunteers, and, you know, we're not paying canvassers. So anyways, that was cool. And then, you know, today we're doing another call party from all across Canada. People are calling into my riding. So that's pretty fun. And then it's just about the doors, making connections, because you can't beat that, right? That's how you really not win people over, but, you know, show them what their options are. And so that's critical for us. And to answer your question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. To answer your question. Yeah. We're going to have a party on election night, and we've already, in our heads, we've already won. We're relevant in politics. We ran the most candidates we've ever ran. We're third. We're probably going to be third in popular vote. So that would be massive, because I think we, you know, when I became leader, we were seventh or something.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations in advance.
Yeah. We'll count all the chickens before they hatch. Who knows? But what we are doing is representing a large group of the population that wanted something better, wanted new solutions. And, you know, to have those conversations and be invited into spaces like this and to talk to you lovely people, it's like, it's such an honor for me. And this is what it's all about, is reaching out and making those connections. And if we can push these solutions, if we can say, look, poverty is bullshit, we can end this. We have the most money in all of Canada, and yet we can't get our heads around policy, which costs us $9.5 billion every year. Like, that's the conversations that we need to have, because there's so much that we can do, whether it's basic income or housing first, like I talked about.
By the way?
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my forum, when you know, you say it and everyone goes, ooh, what do you mean? And it's like, okay, do you guys collect childcare benefit? Because that's a form of basic income. So it's something that you need to talk about and keep talking about to ensure that people understand the benefits of what a basic income can do, especially in an affordability crisis. Because I can't tell you guys how to spend the money. But, you know, government loves to give strings attached. You know, if you guys have car payments or a leaking roof, like, I can't tell you where to put it. But a basic income gives you the safety net so that you can, you know, worry about other things. And for people that are at the lowest level, they can retrain, they can work jobs that they're more passionate about. If you're a single mother, you can, you know, pick up a part-time job. And every trial around the world shows that, you know, it is a get back to work incentive. It's an entrepreneurship seed money. Right. It's everything you need to have a more functional society. And if you're a student, it's a godsend, because, you know, people are, especially in Alberta, are picking between their books or, you know, accessing the food bank. And it's just absolutely crazy. We have more than enough money going around. We've got billions of dollars going off to the oil and gas industry. We've got billions of dollars going off to large corporations that aren't paying their fair share, lowest tax rates in the province. We've got so much that we could be doing to bring that money into the hands of the people that need it most. So when we talk about prosperity, we really need to think about what we're talking about. Are we talking about, you know, funding foreign investment and foreign companies and the money leaving the province, rich execs? When we talk about oil and gas, we're talking about an industry that's profited 1,000% in the last 3 years while we're going through a pandemic and an affordability crisis. Mm-hmm. So again, raising our royalty rates to ensure that our resources come back into the hands of the people. These are common sense tactics that have been utilized since the 70s, but aren't even being talked about. And you know, it's all out there and it's all possible. But when you have, you know, political parties that are captured by these industries that are investing into these industries, and it's not going to the workers. You know, it's going to upper management and to shareholders. You know, it's frustrating. And as a, you know, just an average person that stepped up for the right reasons and wanted to ensure that people are protected and can get by to the end of the week, to the end of the month, you know, it's devastating to watch how the funding is moved around in these large corporations, and the corruption is out of control in that regard.
It is. And I'm yeah. you've got a lot of passion here. I am a little worried you're going to pass out. I think
I don't
also as well, even if you don't win, the real winning is the friends you've made over the last 30 days.
Of course you'd say that, you Welsh bastard.
It's true. No, it's true. Over the last 'cause years, you probably met more people than you did in the previous year. So like,
yeah. That's
and I'm hated. And I'm hated more than I've ever been before. Too,
well, so are we.
I mean, that just means you're doing something good. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It means you're doing something really well.
We're standing for something. We're taking chances. We're actually talking.
A quick side note on something that you said about corporations not paying taxes and not being taxed enough. I've been studying this through various means of entrepreneurship, blah, 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 blah. I won't get into that. But I've discovered that, like, it doesn't actually, the rich have this, their own sort of world that has nothing to do with ours. They've got loopholes. So it really has literally nothing to do with how much we're taxing corporations and the rich. We get to tax them 100% of what they make, and they will still pay nothing because they live off of lines of credit. They don't pay any, they make sure their corporation has a zero, like zero profitability at the end of the year, and they live off of lines of credit, and then they buy assets, which the banks use to pay off the credit.
Right.
Lines of credit aren't taxed. Lines of credit aren't taxed. So if we can fix that, where lines of credit are taxed, the whole system collapses, and that won't ever happen. But just a little tidbit, just a little nugget.
Jesse, you haven't talked about storming Trudeau's house once, so I'm a little.
he's on his best behavior. There's an election on.
You guys need to, in that regard, you need to have one of my candidates. He's my energy critic. His name is Reagan Boychuk. This guy is incorruptible, and he speaks tons of truth to power. You need to have him on your show.
Sure.
He will talk to you about the facts of how Alberta is controlled by foreign interests, specifically American oil companies, how that happened, how that came down, and you know, almost that, to the extent where Canada or Alberta is almost a protectorate colony of US interest. He's just dropping, if you go Reagan Boychuk on Twitter, he's just dropping these truth bombs, and no one knows what to do about it because it's so heavy. But as far as politics being not boring, this guy's talking about you know, foreign interests and blowing up wells to create to make a point about royalty rates, which is, you know, what we're talking about, not taxing oil and gas, not collecting our fair share. As Peter Lougheed said here in Alberta, it's just wild when you go back into the history. And the craziest part was he started telling me this. He sat me down and told me this whole story because I said, you know what, if I keep talking about polluter pay system, enforcing the polluter pay laws, about royalty rates, increasing royalty rates on oil and gas, am I going to get assassinated? And then he talked for 2 hours in this cafe. And I'm like, the bottom line was, if you actually got elected, maybe, yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, right? Because they'll go after your family. They'll go he's a researcher, and they've tried to bribe him, you know, on all levels, including our premier tried to bribe him most recently so he would stop talking about some of these things. Wow. And it's just wild.
You guys have to have him
on your show.
If we start talking about you, will they give us money?
Will they give you money?
Or will they give us money to be quiet?
Or assassinate us.
Do you know him?
Do you know? We'll get him on the show if you can get us in touch with him. The Incorruptible Boychuk would be a great episode title.
The Incorruptible Boychuk. Yeah. Exactly. It's a great TV show.
He will come out full force, and he will lay it all down better than I could ever. But
sweet.
It's
get us in touch with him.
He is incredibly well sourced. He's one of the only people who's, he drops a Twitter and he's sourcing everything. It's footnoted in this.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Because it's so crazy. You have to, or else people will write you off. And he will talk to people. He says, I have this interesting document here that I found, and people will back up against the wall, like within government, because he was working within the NDP until they got elected, and all of a sudden then they wouldn't return his phone calls because because there's large corporate interests at stake here,
right.
And so this is this is something that needs to be talked about, because it's a craziest story you've ever heard, and then the fact that it's true is just mind-blowing.
We have to get him on.
If you know him, if you can get in touch with him for us.
Absolutely.
Yes, about way. And Jordan, thank you so much for being on this Juicy Bit and give us an update. Have you got a last message you want to give to everyone?
Aside from being a courageous voter, which I really like.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Keep listening to this podcast. Keep your mind open and get out there. Be involved in democracy. It's easier to point up your middle finger, say you don't represent us, and walk away. The harder part is to be democracy, but that's what democracy is all about. It's not a back door in. It's the direct front door. And if there's enough people voting in a direction, you can bust through that door and you can make proper change in society. But if you check out, nothing changes. Like you can protest, you can petition, but nothing will change. And so again, average people stepping up is what democracy is all about. And we need to change the way we look at politics. It should be about stewardship. It should be about being a guardian for the people. And when we look at it that way, we can start making better choices.
Awesome.
If politics don't work for you, I think you'd actually make a really great yoga teacher. Like perhaps a really aggressive yoga teacher, but like a great yoga teacher, I think. Just.
Yeah, I don't know what's next. I got a year off of firefighting. I'm growing a beard. So yeah, I could get
looks
that
good.
Yogi, the yogi look, wisdom. So we'll see where it goes, check in a few months. But get Reg and Boychuk on your show, The Incorruptible
Boychuk.
Here come the titles.
Canadian politics.
Remember to dance.
Amazing. Thank you, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.